The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Nick Ferrari joins us from the UK, which of course is the centre of the G7 summit taking place in Cornwall in the southwest of England this weekend. Some of the world's major leaders deciding on some of the most important issues in relation to COVID and other things. But first of all, Nick, the Northern Ireland protocol, it would certainly seem that Emmanuel Macron, the French president, is on Ireland's side and the EU's when it comes to the Northern Ireland Protocol.
Yeah, no, absolutely no surprise there. Emmanuel Macron been very strong about that. I think Lord Frosty, as the British negotiator, had already prepped Boris Johnson for that. There seem to be two different sides about where Joe Biden is there. Remember, we had the story yesterday that there had been almost an official rebuke issued through one of the key advisors at the US Embassy here in London. Subsequently, it would appear that both men have been talking about that, the close relationship of it all. But I might get an opportunity to tell you what they're going to be feasting on at their banquet at the Eden Project later tonight. And sausages will not be on the menu for obvious reasons.
Chilled sausages, the ones that are causing all the problems about the move across the Irish Sea. How important is this G7 summit to Boris Johnson burnishing his public image in Britain and the image of Brexit Britain's place at the global table?
I think it's fair to say that when this was put together and they didn't know about coronavirus, this would have been absolutely the passport to a global Britain, as it is. And all countries are experiencing that. We're anything but a global Britain because of the problems that we're seeing as the Brexit problems work their way through. That being said, the United Kingdom can lay claim to having the seven most powerful leaders on Earth who get on. We have to observe, of course, that there's no Russia, there's no China, but the seven most powerful leaders who get on, all in a fairly small corner of Southwest England, as they talk about the three C's, which is COVID, climate change, and close relationships. And Boris Johnson probably needs this. It distracts from another week where, on the plus side, you have to say, the vaccination program has rolled out. North of 75% now of all adult Britons have had both jabs. 1 million 30-year-olds signed up in one day alone. But, of course, the numbers are going up, and his health secretary, Matt Hancock, had a less than assured performance in front of a panel of MPs yesterday, in which he said he didn't believe anyone had died as a result of us not having PPE kit. Make up your own decision. Nurses treating you wearing a bin liner does not, to me, appear a good look.
No, indeed not. But it's also interesting how the meeting yesterday between Johnson and Biden and the G7 summit is talking about the need to have an enormous amount of vaccines distributed internationally, even if donated by the major countries, for the benefit, indeed, of Britain, America and other countries.
Yeah, we'll try these numbers on. So Britain has spoken today that it will make 100 million vaccinations available to the rest of the world, to poorer countries, I should say. I'm sorry, to poorer countries or less wealthy countries. The United States is going to make 500 million in total. By the time this G7 wraps up and they've all had their Cornish pasties and cream teas, there will be 1 billion vaccinations that they will all be able to pull, which sounds great until I tell you, according to the World Health Organization, the actual number that's required to help the less wealthy countries is 11 billion. So, of course, it's a start. Many people are saying it's not enough. And this, as the Scottish Health Secretary, the equivalent, if you will, of Matt Hancock, says, that come the middle to end of this month, they actually will drop on Pfizer vaccinations and they're not going to hit the target. A lot of pressure on Pfizer here, of course, because under 40s currently, from UK government advice, and I don't want to spook anybody here, but this is only warnings, there's nothing to prove it, but they are more comfortable giving Pfizer or Moderna to the under 40s here than they are AstraZeneca.
Yeah, that is interesting as well. We have much of that conversation over here as well. But given that the British government puts so much faith in AstraZeneca, does it seem that to complete the job on vaccinations, it is going to have to depend more on other manufacturers?
Currently, yes. I don't know when the next results are due in from AstraZeneca. It undoubtedly, their call to go AZ or AstraZeneca for the older cohorts, the 80 plus, the 70 plus, the 60 plus, has been absolutely right. And that's what's put per capita Britain in second place, second only to Israel, at the level of which they've got the vaccinations out. But now, as you rightly say, the focus is on getting the 30s and, of course, eventually the 20s. And they're even talking about 12 and above potentially in August. Just think on that. But if you're in those age cohorts, as both my sons are, their first jabs were not AstraZeneca, they were both Pfizer's.
But we've spoken this week already, Nick, about the reopening that's planned for the 21st of June and that might be somewhat delayed. But we were also hearing earlier in the programme, we were talking about our sports grounds and how what the capacities might be for people as the vaccination programme rolls out. And it's quite slow over here. And one of our contributors said that when Premier League football returns in August after the Euro 2020 is over, that the grounds might be full to capacity. Is that really going to happen, do you think?
Can't tell you on that yet. What I can tell you is the cricket has begun. The England are playing New Zealand. They were at Birmingham or Edgbaston yesterday. 70% capacity. That's 18,000. Now, look, on the one hand, Matt, I'm delighted because I want the country to get back to normal. And it was great to see people enjoying themselves in the sunshine. Sadly, England didn't make the most of it, but that's another conversation. And it's great news. And there's talk today that as and when, if England progress in the Euros, which kick off tonight, although England don't play until the weekend, if you get out of the group stages, you could have half attendance at Wembley. That's going to be a little over 40,000, probably about 41, 42,000. Well, they're not in the same bubble, and that's potential. Well, that will be before the end of this month. So, again, we're sort of mixed messages, as you rightly highlight.
Thank you very much, Nick Ferrari, for joining us.